Gobellino and the Little Wooden Horse. Daylight was streaming into the cave when Gobellino and the Little Wooden Horse woke and saw Sutica in the entrance. She was bursting with indignation. "Ah, so you're still here," she cried, flashing her bright green eyes. "You said you'd come and save me, and you've already left me to my fate." "Oh, no, sister, indeed I haven't," cried Gobellino, springing up and rubbing the sleep out of his eyes. "I'm ready, I'm ready." "Then give me your one white paw, brother." Gobellino held out his paw, and Sutica rubbed it with dirt. In a minute or two, Gobellino's paws were all as black as one another. "Now you have four black paws, just like mine," said Sutica. "Remember, the witch is almost blind. If you keep your eyes half shut, she'll never notice that they're blue rather than green. She'll probably never see you at all because she always sleeps until sunset." Sutica and Gobellino ran out of the cave, and together they galloped up the steep path to the summit of Hurricane Mountain. The little wooden horse was not far behind them. Suddenly, Sutica turned to him and hissed, "Go back! Go back! Your wooden wheels make such a noise! My mistress will wake up and hear you coming!" Very crestfallen, the little wooden horse stopped. Then he carefully turned round and slowly went back down the path. It seemed to him that the two little cats had been gone for hours when suddenly Sutica shot past him. "I'm off!" she cried with a wild laugh of triumph. "And my brother has taken my place. With luck, he'll join you at midday in the cave below, and you can both follow me to the stream. Be very careful. Goodbye, goodbye." If it seemed a long time to the little wooden horse, it seemed 10 times as long to Gobellino. Curled up in a dark corner of the witch's cave beside the ugly old woman, he shrank into the shadows among the cobwebs and dust, hoping she would not notice him if she woke up. Sutica had assured him that the witch would sleep until sunset. But it was not even midday when her snoring became lighter and quicker, and then suddenly stopped altogether. Gobellino froze with terror as he heard her shuffle her feet. She was getting up. "Sutica," she muttered. "Sutica, where are you?" She walked round and round the cave, grumbling and calling for her cat.
"Come on, cat, Sutica."
At last, Sutica, she found her stick and went tap, tap, tap across the floor, prodding and poking in the corners. Suddenly, as she passed Gobellino for the third time, she gave him a painful prod in the ribs.
"So there you are," she cried. "You lazy, good-for-nothing creature. Why didn't you answer when I called you? Feel if the water in the cauldron is getting hot. I want it ready and boiling by nightfall."
Gobellino thought it best to obey her. He crept up to the cauldron and nervously put a paw on the rim.
"Not like that, you lazy cat. Get up on your hind legs and feel the water inside it."
The witch came to stand over him while he dipped his right paw into the bubbling liquid.
"Not that paw," screeched the witch. "Will you never remember what I taught you? You must always stir a spell with your left paw. Go on, then. Tell me if it's getting hot."
Gobellino was forced to do as she said, and almost immediately the dirt was washed off his paw. It gleamed pure white in the murky cave. The witch stared at it and gasped with horror.
"Sutica? Sutica? Why, you wretched little imposter! You're not my cat at all!"
"I'm sorry, ma'am,"
gasped Gobbelino, expecting to be hurled down Hurricane Mountain at any moment. But the witch was gazing at him thoughtfully. "White paw, blue eyes," she muttered. "Why, I do believe you are the brother of my own good-for-nothing cat, and once, long ago, you were both together in my cavern. Am I right, cat?"
"Yes, if you please. Mom," said Gobbelino, lowering his beautiful blue eyes to the floor.
"Then what are you doing here now? And where is Sootica?"
thundered the witch.
"Have you seen her?"
"Yes, yes, I've seen her," confessed Gobbelino.
"And where is she now?"
"I'm sorry, ma'am. She's gone."
"I see it all," raged the witch. "My cat has deserted me, and she has put you in her place to deceive me while she escaped. Isn't that true?"
"Yes, ma'am," said Gobbelino, trembling and expecting to be destroyed at any minute.
But the witch sat down on her chair and rocked herself to and fro with grief.
"Why did she leave me? Oh, why?" she moaned. "I trained her to become the best witch's cat in the world. Why should she want to leave me here alone, now that I'm old and getting helpless? Wasn't I wicked enough for her?"
The witch sobbed and cried so bitterly that Gobbelino began to feel sorry for her.
"I think my sister got tired of being a witch's cat and wants to be good for a change."
"Good?"
shrieked the witch, startled.
"How could she be good? She was born and bred a witch's cat. What shall I do? Oh, what shall I do?"
she sobbed over and over again.
"How could she break my old heart?"
Gobbelino was so overcome with pity that he crept onto her lap. Slowly, the sun crossed the sky and moved across the rocks. Gobbelino knew that it was long past midday and that Sootica must now be safely on the other side of the stream. But his fur was still damp with the witch's tears, and he could not find it in his heart to leave her just yet. Gobbelino dozed off and slept for a couple of hours. When he awoke, the cave entrance was golden with afternoon sunshine, and he could hear someone coming up the hill. It was the little wooden horse. Gobbelino leapt to the floor and joyfully ran to meet him.
"Oh, my friend," he purred.
"Come along, come this instant," said the little wooden horse. "We must leave immediately while the witch is still asleep."
"No, no," said Gobbelino. "You don't understand. The poor old lady is breaking her heart at the loss of Sootica. I can't possibly run away and leave her all alone. You go back, my friend, and tell my family that I will return in a few days."
Suddenly, the witch sat bolt upright on her chair and stared straight at the little wooden horse.
"And what in the name of all wonders can you be?" she exclaimed.
"This is my friend, ma'am," said Gobbelino in some agitation.
He was afraid the witch might turn the little wooden horse into something dreadful or throw him down the mountainside. But instead, she offered the two friends some food.
"Make yourselves at home," she said. "I have to go out for an hour or two."
She tottered out of the cave into the gathering darkness, dragging her broomstick behind her. The two friends lay down together beside the fire.
"There's nothing wicked about the witch now," said Gobbelino. "She's just an unhappy old woman."
But when the witch came back, she was no longer unhappy, but chuckling with glee.
"Nobody can leave me now," she gloated.
I have painted a magic ring with my broomstick all the way round the foot of the mountain. Anyone who tries to cross it will frizzle, and nothing will be seen of them again. We will all live happily together, my dear little friends, forever and ever.